We all used to turn on Netflix and watch some of our most beloved shows, Friends, The Office, Grey's Anatomy, and many more. But Netflix doesn't want us to do that. Over the past couple of years, they've been removing some of the most viewed shows of all time. Fans are, of course, outraged, but Netflix doesn't seem to care. And it's actually all part of their plan to dominate the entire streaming industry. The popular sitcom Friends ended more than 20 years ago, but is still one of the most watched sitcoms in the world. In the beginning of 2020, though, it left Netflix for HBO. All 9 seasons of The Office, one of the greatest comedies of all time, also left Netflix at the start of 2021 for Peacock. The Office reached 58 billion minutes of viewing in 2020 on Netflix, and Friends reached 96.7 billion minutes in 2020. Now, they are gone. But the list of removed shows goes on and on. Parks and Rec, The West Wing, Downton Abbey, 30 Rock, Lost, Scrubs, The X-Files, Cheers, Dexter, House MD, How I Met Your Mother, all of which have slowly left since 2016. These aren't just popular shows, they're comfort shows watched over and over by millions of longtime fans. Luckily, these shows were still available on Netflix outside the US, like the United Kingdom, India, Australia, and most of Europe, though even that began to change. Parks and Rec left most other countries in 2022, Friends left international Netflix at the end of 2024, and lastly, The Office just left Netflix on January 1st, 2025. And it's not just TV shows either, movies are also being pulled, like the Super Mario Bros. Movie, Jumanji, Dune, Point Break, the John Wick films. This list is quite expansive. Why is Netflix, a streaming service who prides themselves on having as many TV shows and movies as possible, removing all of their streaming content? Not only that, but it seems like they're in a hurry to do so. Regardless of the answer, Netflix users are furious. The backlash against Netflix is massive. Fans have been quite vocal about these shows leaving, especially ones like The Office. Why is it leaving? It's one of the most watched shows of all time. I literally have Netflix for The Office. First, Always Sunny, then Parks and Rec, and now The Office? They're literally taking away all my comfort shows. Many viewers said they would end their subscriptions when the show left. So why is Netflix doing this? What are they trying to achieve? And why are they doing this when they know their users hate them for it? Well, even though these shows might bring in subscribers, they come with a massive cost. NBC Universal took over the rights from Netflix for The Office with a 5-year deal, a deal which will cost them $500 million. That's right, $500 million for one TV show, which they only have for 5 years, or basically $100 million per year. This is a streaming arms race. Platforms are bidding and battling for these fan-favorite comfort shows, who flock to services just to watch them, hoping they will become attached even when the show inevitably leaves. WarnerMedia paid a similar amount for Friends, $425 million, to stream on HBO, also only for 5 years. They also paid about $500 million for South Park, so almost $1 billion for 2 shows that WarnerMedia won't even own. Everyone else has been placing big bets on iconic TV shows, trying to lure new subscribers to their new services. Meanwhile, customers have slowly changed their behavior in response. Millions of subscribers have become service hoppers, moving from one platform to another as these shows move, premiere, and end. In fact, now over 1/3 of all customers fall into this category. The streaming arms race continues, and it's costing platforms billions to keep subscribers. Then there's Netflix. They seem to have surrendered these properties, or at least, aren't willing to pay what the rest of the industry is. But hold on, Netflix is the biggest streaming platform with far more subscribers. Surely they can afford it. If it's not just to cut costs, why would Netflix have to remove all these shows and movies? Back in 2013, Netflix released their very first original series, House of Cards. It wasn't just a good show, it was amazing. Over its 6 seasons, it was nominated for 33 Emmy Awards and won 7, along with multiple Golden Globes. This one moment in 2013 changed the entire media industry. It was the first step of Netflix's grand plan. By 2016, they were approaching 100 original shows, all exclusive and most bringing in millions of viewers. Orange is the New Black, Daredevil, Luke Cage, BoJack Horseman, and of course, Stranger Things. These shows are incredibly popular, but also incredibly expensive. House of Cards, despite being a political thriller, cost about $4.5 million per episode. Stranger Things, when it began, cost $6 million per episode, and eventually rose to about $30 million. These original TV shows often cost over $100 million per season, but Netflix is happy to invest that money. In fact, this investment has accelerated with time. In 2016, they spent $6.8 billion on their original content. In 2020, that had risen to $11.8 billion. Netflix has been betting big on originals, and when we look at their lineup of content, it starts to make sense. In March of 2022, original content made up 35.9% of Netflix's total content. Just 16 months later, though, originals had jumped to 55% of their library. This was partly due to licensed content leaving, but it was also due to Netflix ramping up their original productions. This is for the United States, but part of Netflix's grand strategy is outside the Western world. Netflix is betting billions on international content, high-quality shows and movies made specifically for international customers. Money Heist for Spain, Sacred Games for the Indian market, or, of course, Squid Game for South Korean viewers. And these shows aren't just popular in these countries, they often tend to become global sensations. But it's not just that. International shows are typically cheaper to produce than US-based shows, which often enlist expensive A-list actors and production companies. By 2023, these international shows made up a third of all of Netflix's viewership. This shows us Netflix's true strategy.
Our competitors use bundles to find growth in their businesses. And I get that. It's a comfortable business model for legacy media companies. And kind of given the narrow scope of the libraries on these services and the fairly limited engagement, it makes sense for them to kind of replicate some of the older media models of kind of creating these bundles. But what we're focused on is adding more and more value to this package.
For over a decade, they've had two goals: increase the value of their subscription and the competitive advantage of their subscription. Netflix is still licensing non-original shows. For example, they just recently acquired Grey's Anatomy, How I Met Your Mother, and Seinfeld. But it's not their grand plan. Netflix is more focused on investing in the long term. In the first earnings call of 2024, the CFO explained that there has been more licensed content opportunity, but the vast majority of our content spend is still into original programming. We'll always complement it with great licensed content for that variety and quality for our members, but the original content is still our future. This is Netflix's grand plan. Yet, there's still more. They have bigger ambitions than just more original shows and movies. Ambitions to dominate the entire media industry, and one of their first moves came in 2024. The Tyson Paul fight saw 60 million people tune in. It was one of the most watched sporting events in history. Everyone was watching, at least when Netflix's stream wasn't buffering. They didn't seem to have the infrastructure for this much demand. In fact, it even landed Netflix in a lawsuit, but it didn't matter. The Netflix CTO, Elizabeth Stone, said that this unprecedented scale created many technical challenges. We don't want to dismiss the poor experience of some members and know we have room for improvement, but still consider this event a huge success. The Tyson-Paul fight is just the beginning. The streaming giant has been investing big into live events and more specifically, sports. Netflix secured the right to stream the massive 2024 NFL Christmas Day doubleheader, as well as even in 2025 and 2026. Though, after the boxing livestream, fans are already poking fun at Netflix. I can't wait to watch this buffer for 2 hours. At $75 million a game or about $150 million for each live event though, I think they'll get their act together. Similarly, on March 3rd, 2024, they hosted the Netflix Slam, a massive tennis match between Rafael Nadal, a tennis legend with 22 Grand Slam titles, and the rising star Carlos Alcaraz, the youngest ever number one in the sport. It was likely expensive, but nothing compared to their next sports bet. In January 2025, Netflix will exclusively stream in WWE. It paid $5 billion for this license. The weekly WWE SmackDown episodes averaged 1.5 million viewers an episode, while WWE Raw averaged 1.7 million viewers per episode. All of this will now be available through a single Netflix subscription with no extra charge. It's clear what Netflix is trying to do here.
The excitement of the Tyson-Paul fight, which is growing every day, and certainly Christmas Day NFL football is going to be a blast all day on Netflix. So we're really excited that we're going to be capturing even more of the excitement that comes when the whole world gets together to watch.
Netflix is continuing to raise the value and competitive advantage of their subscription. Sports, live events, and original shows are all things no competitor can offer just by paying for a show that's rotated around all the different platforms. But it goes even further. Netflix has bigger ambitions than their competitors, not just streaming movies or TV shows or even sports, but offering everything under one subscription. They've even begun adding video games.
We have a variety of original series from all over the world that are the most watched and the most talked about shows. And you don't have to go anywhere else if you also want unscripted shows and competition shows and great animated series and great animated films. The best of stand-up comedy, and increasingly the buzziest live events on TV. Things like the Brady Roast or the Tyson Paul fight or NFL football on Christmas Day or next year with the WWE. So we are really betting on our ability to reach consumers and our ability to continue to grow value.
Raising the value of that subscription and competitive advantage. In their 2023 annual report, Netflix stated, "We have often referred to this choice as our objective of winning moments of truth. In attempting to win these moments of truth with our members, we seek to continually improve our service, including both our technology and our content offerings. They don't need Friends, The Office, and all these classic shows. They cost a fortune and don't create a competitive advantage. Creating their own shows, however, does. Plus, the $500 million it costs to license other shows isn't that long term. They might bring in value and customers for a few years, but original shows continue to create value forever. People are still watching shows like House of Cards or BoJack Horseman long after they've finished. Other platforms have been fighting for top shows, but Netflix and more recently Prime have been playing the long game, original exclusive content that lasts. They now have material no one else has or ever will have. They strive for consumers to choose us in their moments of free time, and the results speak for themselves. It's not about The Office or Friends or any particular show. It's just business." If you would like to see more questions logically answered, comment that down below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.